Welcome to Ink a Podcast, Play a Podcast.
A classic turn one play. I'm Matthew Orr Bridges.
I'm Amy Orr. And I think Matt has some things he wants to talk about today.
Hey, listen, I told you ahead of time that this was going to be a very me-heavy episode. Don't automatically put our listeners against me.
No, it'll be great. I'm actually really excited to, I guess, learn about some possibilities. And then
you're like, I got some stuff I need to do over here. I'm just gonna let you talk for a little bit and chime in every once in a while when something piques my interest. All right, so in this episode we want to talk about what we want to see in the future of Lorcana. And I think I want to focus it on, like, not necessarily what I want to see from the structure of the game, because it would be nice to have, like, oh, yeah, it'd be cool if we had a card that did this.
Right, nothing like mechanics or...
Yeah.
Like...
Not looking to create custom cards, not looking to give ideas on that, like, play development. We just have some ideas of, I think, things that would be fun. Some things have been brought up before. Some of them are very obvious, which we'll get into. I think we should probably start with the most obvious and just work our way to the least obvious. And so the first thing is a digital client. Now, I know no one has ever asked for this before.
Yes, what exactly is a digital client?
I'm not sure what that is. We had something like it once before.
Oh, the good old days.
I know. Don't you miss it? It was so nice. Just stay cozy in my room and play. But now I have to go touch grass and interact with people. But that doesn't mean that in the future we can't have something official that won't get copyrighted. A digital client would be great. Everybody's been clamoring for it. Literally every Thursday during the Lorecast, people are posting in chat like, digital client win, digital client win. And I really think that they're just trolling, because I have a feeling that it's going to be like its own announcement when it actually is going to happen. But
oh yeah, it's
I think it would be great.
It's not just going to be like dropped in somewhere. It's going to be like
yeah, it's not going to be a shadow drop. It's
it's going to be one of those where they, like, announce a full week ahead of time, like, tune in this day for a big announcement, and then, like, they'll have, like, teaser trailers for it. And
yeah, honestly, I think it's going to happen at, like, a Gen Con.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think that that's what's going to happen. So I don't think it's going to it's not going to come out. I wouldn't bet, you know, like mid-year. Now, to be so fair, they have not indicated that they're making one. There have been rumors and speculation and probably just a little bit of coping that people think that a digital client is coming. All official communication on the matter has been, we understand that you want one. That is the extent of the amount that we're going to comment on this. But anyway, so I think it would be very cool. I do see some issues with creating a digital client, especially with a game that is pretty young. I don't know whether or not to believe the statistics about, like, local attendance and how a digital client affects it, because I've seen anecdotal evidence on both sides, where when Pixelborn was around, people are saying this killed our local scene, because why would I go to a store when I could just play online? And then I've seen other people say, well, Pixelborn is the only reason why I actually bought in and bought real cards, and without it, I can't really play the game, nor do I have, like, the confidence to go to local stores and actually play. So I can actually see kind of both sides of that argument. I'm curious about what your feelings are, and I'll get into something that I have from my history, but I want to hear what your feelings are before I kind of taint your...
So I fall more on the confidence side of it, where those first few tournaments that I went to, like, as in locals, I was uncomfortable, and every little thing made me scared. And
yeah.
But when I started playing on Pixelborn, I started getting some confidence, and which made me more comfortable playing with other people. You know, I have long enjoyed online games because I don't have to look people in the face when I'm doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Playing it enough made it so that I felt the confidence that maybe what I was doing wasn't so stupid. And
yeah.
And yeah. So I only viewed it positively. And like when we went to Atlanta, I at like the hotel where I was staying, I was just carrying my laptop around with me. And like I'd go up to the hotel restaurant and I'd order some food, and then I'd pull out my laptop and start playing on Pixelborn. And but that was me at a DLC, right, an official event, preparing for it with a digital client. So like,
yeah,
I don't think that they are mutually exclusive at all. It only made me more willing to do things in person.
I definitely agree. We've talked about this before, where I'm the type of person where like Pixelborn was never able to fill that competitive itch with me. I really like competing, even if the prizes that are on the line are pretty minimal, you know, like pack per win or $30 in store credit. I just like the act of competing. And Pixelborn obviously had some things with that. And I think that that's the reason why it got taken down so quickly. But just practicing in like the queue or on the ladder, it didn't fill that itch for me. So it wasn't mutually exclusive for me. I think a digital client could very easily complement the game as opposed to pulling focus away from in-person events. I will say, having come from competitive Magic, there is a little bit of a worry that I have, where Magic has an official online game. And I do think that Magic Arena contributed to some of the downfall of a competitive Magic scene. There are so many other factors that contributed to that, not the least of which COVID really screwed everything up when it came to competitive Magic. But I do think Arena was not a non-issue when it comes to that. So I'm a little concerned about having a digital client that awards prizing, that has events on the digital client. I'm also concerned about, I think the one place that it is sort of mutually exclusive is, I don't think in 2025 that someone is going to develop a client that is free. And so I do worry that the part that would be mutually exclusive is, Pixelborn was free to play. I don't know that an official client would be.
Okay, that's
in nearly the same way.
That is very interesting to me what you're saying, because I was actually sitting here thinking the exact opposite, where not that it wouldn't be free to play, because I agree that it wouldn't be free to play. But that it would need to be pay to play in order to make it not mutually exclusive. Because
interesting,
if you can do everything on a digital client that you can do in person, and they make it competitive somehow, and it's official, mm-hmm, and all of that, then why would I pay in person? So right, it absolutely makes sense for me for it to be a paid product.
Well,
but I also see where you're coming from with, like, I don't want to pay for both.
Exactly. That is where I'm coming from, where I think people would choose one or the other. And very clearly, the easiest one is the digital version. I guess it wouldn't necessarily be easier, but because you can make a digital client be very hostile if you really want it to be. So with Magic Arena, they have their own economy in the game. You have, and it is technically free to play. Like, you don't necessarily need to put any money into it. But the way that it works with Magic is you're really only going to be able to build one deck and for free. And if you want to build any other deck, then you're not going to be able to without putting money into it. Just the way that that economy works. Different card games have different economies that will change that value in different ways. So it's not necessarily a given, but I do think that, you know, if you are forced to pay for two separate collections, you know, if you're forced to pay for both a physical and a digital collection, I do think that that is going to make people choose one or the other. And I worry that the digital would actually win out in the end, because it is always easier not to go somewhere than it is to go somewhere.
Well, maybe the answer is a free client that has limitations. Like,
yeah, that's an idea.
Like basically that has a different playing format. I was gonna put like a, for instance, you're only playing to 10 lore or something, but that really cuts out a lot of the control decks because you wouldn't be able to get the practice in that. So that's not the type of limitation it would need to be. And
that's a really interesting idea and one that other games have implemented. So, for example, Pokemon has a game, but it is different. It has an online, I think it's an app, but it's a different game than the TCG that you would play in person. Yu-Gi-Oh! Does the same thing where they have like a faster version of the game. And I think that that is more, I think that that's in like response to like Marvel Snap, which is an app-only digital card game. And you have like 12 cards in your deck and the games take 5 minutes, and so the games are super super fast, super snappy, and I think that Pokemon Pocket and Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links are a response to people being like, hey, I want something to do on my phone while I'm in the bathroom, but I can't sit down and play a full game of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or I can't sit down and play a full game of Pokemon. Magic Arena, you know, you can play it on your phone, but it's a full Magic game when you play that. So, I mean, like, Lorcana could do something like that where they create their own mini version. Maybe you do pack rushes,
I was wondering about pack rush. It's scratching an itch, but it's not serving the same purpose as, like, Pixelborn.
That's what I was gonna say, was that it's not the same game you're playing at that point.
Yeah, you're not able to use it to get your reps in. So it's certainly something I would enjoy. Like, I would play the hell out of a digital app that just was Pack Rush. I would for sure. Or something,
yeah.
Yes. But I am looking for something that I could be like, okay, I need to play this deck like 20 times before I play it in a tournament.
Or even just, you know, like, even just using it as like a proof of concept where it's like, I have this wacky idea. Yes. I don't want to waste my night. You know, yes. I don't want to waste the day leading up to the Tuesday night tournament, building the deck and getting all of my cards out, building it in paper, going for 3 hours to the store, and then be like, oh, this doesn't work. I forgot about Emerald Steel. Yeah. You know? And Pixelborn was great for something like that. And, you know, right now we have tools that allow you to play against computers, and that can sort of, you know, replace, like, you know, that can sort of be a proof of concept tool for you. But obviously the computer is not very good and does odd things sometimes. And so creating a online game that is not the same as the game that we play in paper would help differentiate it and make sure that there is no crossover. But it would also kind of, it kind of fails to meet the point, which is we want something, we want practice. We want to be able to practice these decks, and we want to be able to do that at a time that's convenient to us, especially if you live in an area that does not have a local scene.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, we are spoiled for choice where we are, where there's...
We are absolutely, absolutely spoiled.
Yes, where any day of the week, I think any day, but don't correct me, we could go to a tournament. But there are tons of places that that's just not the case. And
right. I mean, we see it all the time on Facebook where people constantly talk about how they don't, their local scene has died. It never took off. You know, they have one card store and the 12 players in their community don't want to play Lorcana, you know?
Yeah. So if you figure, okay, you're one of these entirely reasonable people who have one local store, then you have one chance a week to try out your deck. And if you don't like the deck that you played, like if you're like, oh, yep, this did not work, then you have to try another one. And what you get to, like, set championships, and because it took you a month to find the deck that you liked, you got, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 reps on it over the course of another month. I think that's the issue is...
Well, and I think it even goes, you can go further down that line of thought where it's, if we're communicating, like as a community, as, you know, as Ravensburger, if they're communicating, hey, you can be the world champion just like this guy was. Not all outcomes are equal because not all circumstances are equal. And so it's like, how is the person who lives in an area that does not have a local community, doesn't have access, how are they going to be able to practice in the same way that these people who have made it their, you know, semi-career to be good at this game, how are they going to compete at the same level? Because they don't have the same opportunities that a lot of other people do, that the people, so like that person, maybe they snagged a ticket to Milwaukee. How are they going to practice?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really do want to see a digital client. I want to see a digital client that has the same game as what we actually play in paper. In an ideal world, and I know, and like, I think every card game that isn't Pokemon says this, we would do what Pokemon does, where every booster pack comes with a code to redeem a booster pack on their digital client.
Okay, so you're basically letting people build up both of their collections by having them purchase physical. Do those codes, like, do they correspond exactly with what is in the physical package, or is it just like...
No, okay. It would still be random in both cases. I think, and I'm not an expert on Pokemon, but I don't know that there is actually a way to purchase packs in the game. I think you have to purchase physical packs to get packs online. But even if that isn't the case... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think that sounds smart because, like I wouldn't go buy a bunch of physical cards so that I could play a digital game if I wasn't also going to play the physical cards.
Right. Oops, I misspelled Pokemon. Regardless, I think everybody would be very, very happy if Lorcana went the Pokemon route and said, here's a booster pack for every booster pack that you buy in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every card game player wants that. I know when Magic Arena was coming out, everybody was very hopeful for that. They did not do that because I don't think it's as profitable, obviously. But I mean, who knows? Pokemon does it.
Yeah, there's got to be an upside or they wouldn't do it. Like, even if the upside is just keeping people happy, like...
Yeah.
It makes sense. But I also, I mean, I get the hesitation as well, so I don't know.
I don't know. I think that would be very nice. But I think bottom line, it comes down to whatever digital client may exist in the future, it needs to be the same game that we're playing right now.
Yeah.
So whatever form that takes, very hopeful that that happens. But one thing that kind of leads into it, which is our next thing, I wonder, because you said Pokemon must be doing that for some reason, otherwise why would they do it? Pokemon is an interesting card game because they have a few things going for it that Lorcana may or may not have in the future. The first thing is they are a collector game first and a game second. And so people will be opening packs, but not to play the game. They'll be opening packs for the cards and the cards' value or just liking the cards. The other thing that Pokemon does is they have a lot of different alternate arts and alternate card types that you can open that are still technically the same card, but there's just, it's a different foiling, it's a different artwork. We are starting to see that with Fabled, where we now have like the epics, where it's the same artwork, but it's of reprints, but it's full art and it's foil. So we're starting to dip into that a little bit. Here's the thing. Pokemon is an extremely cheap game to play at a competitive level, especially compared to like almost any other card game. Because if you look at the top deck lists, they're going to be like $70 for like the whole deck.
Why?
Because of those two things that I just mentioned. So a lot of cards, a lot of booster packs are being opened trying to find the most valuable cards in the set. And the second thing is the most valuable cards in the set are not, one, necessarily the best cards for playing, or two, not the cheapest version of those cards. They are the alternate foiling, alternate art versions. So what happens is that they print a card in a much more common form, and then they have a special super duper rare foiling rainbow mythic whatever that is the valuable version of that card. So people are seeking that out for its value, but if you want to play with it, you can get the $1 version, and it's the same card. And because so many people are opening packs because of the collectors and because of the scalpers and because of the people who make this their job to open and sell cards, there is a lot of supply. So due to all of those factors, Pokemon is the cheapest TCG to play at a competitive level. Now, Pokemon is also the most successful franchise in the entire world. So I don't know if Disney can get to that level, but Disney is no slouch.
Yeah, I'm when like, it dude, that sentence sounds insane.
But it is so true that Pokemon destroys any other IP. Now, does it destroy the collective Disney IP catalog? I don't know. But Pokemon is so popular, it is so profitable, that they can get away with things that Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! Can't. So if Lorcana wants to try to do the same thing, they would, I think, need to lean more heavily into alternate arts, alternate foiling, alternate rarities, those sorts of things. Now, the flip side to that is if you try to go down that route, if you try to emulate Pokemon in that way, it also comes with the baggage, which is Pokemon is not a card game first card game. It is a collector's first card game. And because of that, it may not be very popular in very many areas. So we have the same issue as before, where maybe there's not a Pokemon community for you to play your deck at. And so it does not necessarily help the game itself, even if it helps the players, if that makes sense. So The other flip side of it is looking at Magic. Magic, within the past several years, has started doing the same thing that Pokemon is doing with the alternate arts, alternate foils, alternate rarities. There is a growing criticism. I don't know how large, because everybody online is very vocal. So it is so possible that this is a vocal minority of people. But it's a growing sentiment that it's too much when it comes to Magic. There are dozens of different alternate versions, alternate artworks. Some of them don't even really look like Magic cards in the traditional sense. And there's a resentment that is growing because Magic is leaning into that type of collectability. Magic has a lot of other baggage. Magic is not anymore a very competitive first card game. They're very much a casual first card game, but to be honest, most card games are casual first, and the competitive community is a much smaller subset of that, which I think a lot of people forget when you are deep into the competitive side of things, is that we are a very small section of the community.
Yeah, I would say that's very easy to forget. I mean, you say that and I'm like stopping to think, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, I guess there's people just like playing at home, and is that...
Which is baffling to me.
Yeah. But
it's like a rule with every card game. They do outnumber us.
Bonkers. But I get it. I mean, it's that has never been how we have played. And so it's not something I had considered.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I like the idea. I like the idea of the epics that we're getting. I think I'm kind of in the minority of the minority here when I say I think I prefer the epics to have the same artwork as what we have. I know a lot of people, especially with like the Fabled spoilers, are pretty upset that Fabled's not going to have new artwork. I think that that's a self-correcting issue, because Fabled is not going to be something that we have every year. And we clearly have seen them commission new artwork for reprints, where we saw, you know, like the puppy or Captain Hook have new artwork. So I could definitely see a future where we get an epic version of a card that's in the set and it has the same artwork as the common version, but it's like extended and it's foil. And I think that that is perfect. What I don't want to see is kind of what Magic is doing, where it is a completely different artwork and a completely different design. Magic is really messing with their templates, where the cost and the power and the toughness and the abilities, they're all over the place. And it makes it very tricky as someone who needs to read these cards upside down when I'm playing against them. Makes it very tricky to feel confident that I know what I'm doing at any given time. I mean, how many times have you been playing a game and you just walk into something that was just free information for you to know? Like, oh, yeah, you did have that on the board.
Yeah, every time I've played Magic, that's how it happens.
Right, exactly. And Magic is a much more complex game, but it does happen with Lorcana. I think it just happened yesterday for me at Set Champs, where somebody tried to challenge something and I was like, oh, he has Bodyguard.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, that happens also. Or like the whole, this dude has resist. Sure, you can attack him, but...
That's even worse, right? Because it's like, oh man, I can't even take that back.
Right.
Like, that was a legal thing that I did. It was dumb, but it was a legal thing that I did. You know, there are just so many times where you walk into something that is so obvious and it's on board, and that's without messing with any alternate arts. That's just...
But yeah.
Then if you get into alternate arts and you're like, oh, well, I didn't realize it was a 2-3 because the 2 and the 3 are separated and they're floating off in their own bubbles because the graphic designer thought it would look cool. That's where the game starts feeling like not the same game anymore, and it feels like, I don't know, something different.
Well, and I
I have a completely different concern with, I mean, maybe it's the same. I don't know. I have been worried about alternate art because 100% of the time I'm like, okay, wait, do I know this card? Do I need to read this? Am I aware here? And so if it's these cards that have been around forever and I should know, but they just look different now, that's just such a weird extra element for me that doesn't really hurt anything, but makes me feel silly.
It's a tricky balancing act that you have to do where you want to appease the collectors, but you also want to appease the players. And so I don't know what the right answer is to it. There's also the concept of, like, cards need to have value in order for people to feel good about opening packs.
Right.
Because if nobody's opening packs, then nobody's selling cards. And then the cards, you know, it's this weird supply and demand thing. But Pokemon seems to pull it off because the only cards that have value wouldn't be the ones being played in their game. They would be being sold and being displayed and being graded. And meanwhile, the players have their common versions of cards that they can play. So it's definitely tricky. I think I would like it if Lorcana leaned more into it. I mean, they're doing it with the promos and with the epics, so we'll see how that goes. But I think they just need to be careful. You hear that, Ravensburger?
Watch yourself.
Yeah, we're watching. All right, I have one last suggestion for what I want to see in the future. And this one is a little off the wall. Here's the thing. I was watching Queen's Gambit the other day. And my question is, why don't we use chess's system of determining who goes first and who goes second? The computer will design it in a way that says, you will never play the same color more than two rounds in a row. And so they try to alternate, but, you know, chess has a very similar, like, Swiss tournament system that we have, where winners play winners, and you're almost always going to be paired against somebody who has the same record as you. They have a ELO system that they use, and so that muddies the waters a little bit. But basically what happens is that it's the same sort of structure in the Swiss rounds, and they do have a color balance rule, which says each player should play a color an equal number of times. And you shouldn't ever play the same color more than two times in a row unless it is actually just unavoidable. And so what that would look like, and again, we're asking a lot from the Play Hub right now, but I'm optimistic that they can get this done because it exists. Chess exists and they've been doing this for a while. But on the Play Hub, it would just, with your pairings, it would just tell you who's going first. And then you avoid all of this, you know, you avoid the unluckiness of like, oh man, I lost every die roll today, you know?
Okay, but you're saying that it's throughout the whole day, the whole tournament, it would be, like, equalized, where...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, no, that totally makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, yes, a die roll is random, but you're not guaranteed to be able to win the die roll at any given time, but the computer system would try to ensure that you have an appropriate balance. And that, you know, in a given tournament, it might be, oh yeah, I was on the play three times and I was on the draw twice because it's a five round tournament, you know, like, and it can't be equal. But ideally over the course of several tournaments, you would have an equal number of going first versus going second.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that would be an interesting idea. I also don't mind the idea of using chess clocks, but I understand that is probably harder to implement.
It probably
actually,
would
I'm not
be.
Sure if that would be harder.
I don't know. I would like the idea because if someone tells me that I need to hurry up, that does more than just get me to hurry up. It totally derails me. And one time at like a DLC, someone is like, "Yeah, we're running short on time. We're gonna need to go faster." And I was like, "I'm gonna go faster, but I'm not gonna let it ruin my game." And he's like, "Okay, yeah, that's fine." And yeah. And so I like the idea of being like, I have the amount of time that I can take, and you have the amount of time that you can take. And at some point, maybe I'll see, oh, shoot, I've really put myself in a situation where I got to make fast decisions. But the other person never has to comment on that. They might to screw with your brain, but that's not the type of game that I'm playing. So I would like it. At least theoretically, I would.
Theoretically, yeah. And I think it's a nice idea, especially because I typically don't have issues going to time. I think I'm a pretty fast player. But there are differences in pace of play depending on like what state of the game you're in, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, yeah, the first few turns are going to be really fast, and I'm going to be making my turns 10, 15 seconds, and that'll be it. But later into the game, the more complex the position, if we're getting closer to the end and I really need to tank for a while and think about what my next move is, because there are going to be fewer decisions left in the game to make, and so by consequence they're going to be more important. Without a sort of objective clock, it doesn't feel like you have earned any goodwill by your fast pace of play in the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. where it's like, listen, I could have taken 30 seconds on the first few turns. I'm not. So now I'm using all of that time I could have used at the end of the game, but that's still, you know, if you sit there for a minute not doing anything, that's a long time for your opponent just be like sitting there waiting. Yeah. And it could be that you are just tanking really hard and you're doing things, you're not stalling. But if there was a chess clock, if there was an objective clock that it's like, yeah, I mean, when your clock reaches zero, you lose no matter what. So take whatever time you want. And that's how it works on Magic Online. Is each player has 25 minutes. And when you have something you can do, your clock ticks down. People have talked about chess clocks in Magic, like in paper Magic, for a really long time. And it doesn't necessarily work that well in that game because you can act on your opponent's turn. And so you would have to hit the clock several times in a turn in order to accurately simulate what a real chess clock would be. Obviously in chess, you can't act on your opponent's turn, so like whatever.
Yeah.
Lorcana is a little in the middle because you do have effects that can trigger on your opponent's turn.
Or I don't like know discard, how many... where they're like, you have to discard right. a card, and then you're sitting there like, yep. oh shit, which of these should I get rid of?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think that is a good example of your opponent needing to act on your turn. I think with discard, it would be like, I play Sudden Chill, and then you hit your opponent's, or you hit your clock to start your opponent's clock. Mm-hmm. And then when they discard, they hit their clock and start yours again.
Yeah.
But think of things like Merlin Rabbit, where it's like, I play Be Prepared. And as you're scooping up your cards, I'm like, I'm going to draw two cards. What time does that come off of? Does that come off of anybody? Like, how do we do that?
I think anything that delays the other player's turn is when it needs to be stopped. So, like,
right.
you can draw off of Rabbit while they're still, like, and now I'm going to be doing this or whatever, you know? Like, it doesn't actually slow them down. But I get where yeah. you're coming from, though, and yeah, it's a little messy.
I don't know. I think it would be interesting to try.
Well, and I was thinking about things like Ruby Sapphire, where at the end of the game, they're taking like these freaking like 5-minute turns. Would using a chess clock mean that they'd have to tighten up a little bit and maybe couldn't be so like action heavy on a Maui deck? Or would that just be like, okay, well, you know, I don't really do anything the first three turns besides ramp, and I'm building up my time for later.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think like some people were talking when the first season of DLCs was underway and we were using the two game format, and people were criticizing the two game format and saying like, why don't we need to move to best of three? Why are we doing two game format? And some people's response was, I mean, we were going to time with only playing two games. How can we possibly do a possible third game, even given a little bit more time? Because I think it's 50 minutes for three games, and it's 45 minutes for two games.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's 55 minutes, I'm not sure. But like, regardless, the 5 to 10 minute difference is not how long a game takes.
Right.
And so people were saying like, there's just not enough time to play three games, which absolutely blows my mind, because Magic has always done three games and has always had a 50-55 minute timer on it. And it's really only a couple of decks that would ever go to time, and they are notorious for being very slow and dirtily and control-y. And it's not an epidemic that all these players are drawing. And so part of me is just like, I think Lorcana players just need to play faster. Like, I think you just need to play faster. I think because of Lorcana's inherent you play, then I play, I can't play on your turn, and so I think some people just check out during their opponent's turn. Whereas with Magic, you have to be engaged on your opponent's turn for the most part. You have to be engaged on your turn and your opponent's turn. And so you're constantly in the game. And in Lorcana, it's like, okay, my turn is done, your turn, I'm going to set down my hand, and I'm just going to wait. And
yeah, I could see that.
Maybe
it means that every turn you're having to like key back in. And yeah.
And you burn a little bit of efficiency, right? Or you aren't, maybe you aren't necessarily thinking about what your turn is going to be during your opponent's turn. Where, okay, if they're going to do this, I think they're going to do this, and then I'm going to do this on my turn, depending on what I draw, you know. Maybe they don't do that. Because in Lorcana, it is very common to see players set down their hand and put a die on top of it to represent how many cards they have left. And it's like, I don't do that very frequently, because I'm looking at my hand. And like, no, I can't do anything on your turn, but I'm also looking at my hand being like, okay, how is their turn affecting my turn? And so I think maybe just Lorcana players are slower for a variety of reasons. And so it's like, I mean, whatever, be slow. We have a chess clock now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea. I want to try it.
Just put it into the play hub, have a rule that says you have to turn notifications off on your phone, put it into play hub, and then use that as your chess clock.
We should play some with a chess clock. We should do it.
That would be very interesting. We should do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think if nothing else, like even if it doesn't turn into like an actual type of play, I think it would help impress upon ourselves like how much time we're taking and maybe change our way of playing, which would be interesting.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think that is a sneaky bit of advice in this non-advice episode. Play with a chess clock. And like, if you think that you are a somewhat slower player, but you still want to be able to make sure that you're taking the correct action and you're not rushing, play with a chess clock at like, see if your opponent at locals will allow a chess clock, you know, like see how much time you're actually taking. And if you're taking too long, then maybe that knowledge will help you kind of pick up the pace.
Yeah, I like it. Let's try it. Let's do it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll build that into my app that I'm totally making. All right. Well, I think we're gonna leave it there. You should comment. Do it right now. Comment on this video. If you're not watching the video, go to the video and comment. What do you want to see in the future? what thing are you very interested in seeing that has not yet been done, or maybe hasn't been done to the extent that you want? Or what do you disagree with? Do you not think we need a digital client? I'm open to hearing that.
Yeah. What do you think won't work that we're excited about?
Yeah. Tell us why we're wrong. And we're at incapodcast.com. I think pretty soon I'm going to start writing some articles that I think would complement episodes to a certain extent. So look out for that. That'd be cool. And, you know, comment, follow us. Our social media presence is pretty lacking so far. But if people were to follow us, we would feel obligated to be on social media more.
Yes.
So really, this is your fault.
This is on you guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Excellent. And my AC just kicked on, and I can see my neutral line going crazy. So this is...